Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And we do appreciate you listening in today. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And we would like to take just a moment to tell you about the church, where it is, and invite you to come be with us if you are in the listening area, if you are passing through, visiting, live here, looking for a church home. We are located just off of Highway 105 South, and that is Baird's Creek Road, about 2 miles outside of the Boone city limits. Baird's Creek Road is on the right. We're 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And so it's a blessing to be here one more time. Noah is not with us today, and the air conditioning is off in the studio here, and it's rather warm. You don't have a lot of windows in a radio station, and you got to keep everything closed up for noise purposes. And so when the air's off, it gets blistering hot really quick. So that's going on today, but that's neither here nor there. I guess used to. You just heard a fan in the background. I don't know. But anyway, we're glad to be back one more time. School is in, so our thoughts and prayers are with the students all over the county, and the college is back in. So lots of, summer. Basically, we say, well, it's over now and back to school. And so we are thinking about those that are back to school this week. We do want to say how much we appreciate all of our listeners right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone. And then also our Saturday radio broadcast goes out, this same radio broadcast, Saturday mornings on 690 AM WZAP, and also on Saturdays on 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And we appreciate so much Pastor Lamar Whittemore and the Harvest Baptist Church there in South Dakota and the radio ministry that they have, and just the opportunity to be a little part of that. We sure do count it a privilege. Now, we've been studying the subject of civics, and we're going to get back into that today. And this little study will take a while. I don't know exactly how long we'll be looking at civics, but civics, C-I-V-I-C-S. Now, we're not talking about the car, Honda Civics, but you know, there's a great many people that's about all they know about civics, is that it's a model of a car, a Honda Civic. But that's not the kind of civic that we are talking about. This is the fourth week, or part four, that we've been looking at this. And I thought, you know, if I was drawing this out on a whiteboard, if I was teaching in front of a class, I would just give a little review. I would say, first of all, we looked at civics week number one, and we just gave an introduction, and we just gave a basic definition of what civics is. And we started out by giving examples from the Bible, especially the life of the Apostle Paul. And civics is this. Civics is the study of rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. The Apostle Paul had a great deal to say about one's citizenship and a Christian's relationship to their government or to their rulers. Or as it talks about in the Bible, it refers to rulers and governments as being the higher powers, and especially Romans chapter number 13. That is a great example of a civics lesson from the Bible. Somebody might say, what's a preacher doing from a church talking about government and American history, and what do you got to do with that? Well, we ought to just stay in the Bible. Well, the Bible has a great deal to say about civics. And so the Apostle Paul gave a great civics lesson, a citizen and their relationship to their country. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, for example, it says this. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And so the Bible teaches that leadership, government, is ordained by God. It is good. Government is good. Government is necessary. And in order for it to work, citizens are to be in subjection to their government. But not only are the citizens to be subject to their government, the leaders, the rulers, are to be subject as well. That's why it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For example, here in America or anywhere in the world, how would it work out if there was one set of rules for the people and another set of rules for the leaders? Now, that's how a lot of governments are, and they usually are more communism, socialism, tyranny of some sort. That would be the best way to describe it. Tyranny. You have a dictator, and that is not a good form of government. That is not good for the people. It might be good for the ones in charge, but it's sure not good for the people. But here in America, we have that we should all be subject unto the Constitution. That's the supreme law of the land. So that's just an example of the Apostle Paul talking about civics, citizens, rights and duties, and how the government works. We learned about just a basic introduction to what civics was. Then we talked about democracy. Now, I started with democracy not because America is a democracy, but because so many people think that it is a democracy when actually it is not. Our government was not set up as a democracy. But many times you will hear people talk about America, the greatest democracy in the world. Well, it's not a democracy, and democracy did not make it great. Democracy is rule by majority. You think about, for example, in the Middle East, the Arab Spring over the past 5-6 years, something like that, and you've had all this turmoil in the Middle East, and they talked a great deal about democracy over there and the people voting, and you know, you had all these dictators overthrown. You had Libya, you had Egypt, you had a lot of countries, a lot of turmoil over there, and all of that talking, what were they doing? They were talking about democracy. Well, a lot of these countries are worse off than they were before. And how did this come about? By uproar, by mob, by cry of the people. Democracies never last, and they always end up in tyranny. One ruler comes to the front and takes the reins, and sometimes people vote themselves under a tyranny. And that is just a fact of history. Here's what James Madison had to say about democracies. He said, democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention. And so when he was describing, and when our founding fathers were talking about the America and declaring our independence from England, they did not recommend democracy as a form of government. But they recommended, and they set up, a republic. And that is the form of government that we have in America. That's what we talked about last week, what a republic was. A republic, and if you know the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. And so in America, we have a republic. A republic is a representative form of government. And in a representative form of government, power is retained by the people and those representatives holding office for a limited time. So we have a representative form of government, the people. We have democratic principles in that people vote, and anybody of voting age, anybody that's a citizen, can vote. So we do take a part in our government, but what do? We elect representatives. And we're going to talk about that next week, our representatives, who they are and what they do, and things like that. But we elect our representatives, and power is retained by the people. The representatives are to go, and they are to hold office for a limited time. And so that is what a republic is. Now, today, what we're going to do, we're going to add one more word to our definition to describe our particular form of government in America. And America is not only a republic, but America is a constitutional republic. And that is what we're going to look at today. America is a constitutional republic. Now, I want to give you a definition of that. A constitutional republic is a state where the officials are elected as representatives of the people and must govern according to existing constitutional law that limits the government's power over citizens. A constitutional republic is the current form of government in the United States. Now, let me point out a couple of things about what a constitutional republic is. A constitutional republic is a state where the officials are elected. We've already talked about that. We have a representative form of government. But the representatives, and here's where it adds on, being a constitutional republic, the representatives must govern according to the existing constitutional law that limits the government's power over citizens. So the elected representatives, when they go to Washington, when they go to Raleigh, when they go to the state capitol, they're just not able to do anything they want to do. They have to govern according to the existing constitutional law. Now, it does not matter if you are a Democrat, if you are a Republican, if you are an independent, if you're the Green Party, if you're Libertarian, it should not matter to you which one you are. You really ought to be interested in our Constitution. It doesn't matter if you're right wing or left wing. It does not matter if you are a person of faith or a person of no faith. If you're a believer or an unbeliever, if you are a Christian or a Muslim, if you are a Jew or a Catholic, whatever your religious affiliation may or may not be, it does not matter the color of your skin. If you're red and yellow, black and white, you know, we sing that little song in church, they are precious in His sight. It shouldn't matter to you. None of these things should matter to you, no matter what category you might put yourself in. You ought to be very, very interested in our Constitution. Our Constitution is not there to protect the government. Our Constitution is in place to protect the people from the government. And that is not fostering a disrespect for government or our leader or our government offices. We have respect for that. But we, the people, have to be very, very jealous over our liberties, our freedoms. We ought to be jealous over the Constitution being followed because that protects us. And if we could just get that in our heads, you know, people are saying, oh, I'm for the Democrats. Oh, I'm for the Republicans. Somebody needs to be for the Constitution. It's the Constitution that protects the people from the Democrats, from the Republicans, and the things that they desire to do, sometimes absolutely contrary to the Constitution. And so our protection is that we live in a constitutional republic. I've heard different people say this, and just about verbatim, word for word, I've heard people say, I'm scared to death if blank is elected as our next president. Now, I've heard people say, I'm scared to death if Hillary gets in, and I've heard people say, I'm scared to death if Trump gets in. I've heard people say, I just don't know what they're going to do. I've heard people say about both of them, they are going to ruin our country. I've heard people say, if either one, I mean, I've heard both sides, if they get in, I move to another country. You know, you hear things like this all the time. You hear people say, if Hillary gets in, she'll be a dictator. And you hear it said about Donald Trump as well. If Donald Trump gets elected, he will be a dictator. And you hear that. That's why both sides ought to be very, very interested in our Constitution. Because, once again, the Constitution protects the people from the government. It places limited powers upon the government as to what they can actually do. Now, if we, and I'm talking about America now, Americans, our government, if we are a true constitutional republic, then our government and our nation can ride out times of lousy leadership. Say we get a president and he's a bad egg. Say we get in your state, you know, you get a wild senator, you know, and they just go off the deep end while they're in office. Well, a constitutional republic can ride out times like that when we have just lousy leadership. And it seems like we have had a string over the past decades of one lousy leader after another, after another, after another. But a constitutional republic can withstand that. And the reason, or the beauty of a constitutional republic, is that elected representatives can only govern according to existing constitutional law. It's sort of like this. I pastor a church, and a church is a little picture of a constitutional republic, meaning a church is made up of elected representatives. Now, I'm talking about our church. I'm not talking about any, I don't know about other denominations and how they do their business. But I'm talking about, I pastor a Baptist church. Well, the pastor, the deacons, they are sort of like elected representatives. The people chose them. The people voted them in. The people ordained them. The people called them. I mean, they have to have the call of God on their lives, but the church has a say-so in that. And they say, brother so-and-so would be a good deacon, and we want this man over here to be our pastor. And so they have elected representatives. Now, I'm a pastor. But just because I'm a pastor does not mean I can come into the church and do anything I want to do, because we have a constitution. We have a governing document. That'd be a good way to put it. And it's called the Bible. And so I have no authority, even though I'm the pastor. And being a pastor, there is a certain amount of responsibility and authority that goes along with that. But I cannot do anything I want to do. I could not come in Sunday morning and say, hey, everybody, I've got a great idea. You know, we're only using the church about 2 days a week, you know, Sundays and Wednesday nights. And, you know, why don't we turn the church into a Red Lobster the other days, and we'll have a restaurant, and then for church time, you know, and we'll make money and nobody will have to tithe anymore, or you know, we'll just, you know, somebody might say, wow, that's a great idea. Let's do that. But somebody ought to stand up and say, no, we can't do that. There's no authority from the Bible. And we also have in our church a constitution. We have articles of faith. We don't have any authority to operate outside of that. So a president cannot come along in our country, even though they're the president, even though they're the highest office in the land. A president cannot come along and say, you know, I really like being president, and I think everybody likes me, or at least about half of them do, and we're not going to have elections this year. I'm just going to remain president. In fact, I don't like being called president. I'm just going to be the king from now on. And we can just forget about Congress and, you know, let all these people go home, and I'll just run the show. I'm doing a pretty good job. A president, even though they're the president, has no authority whatsoever to do that. Why? Because our government is governed by the Constitution. So the Constitution protects us. It protects the people. It maintains a certain law and order. And even though you may get a lousy president, after 4 years, you get to vote. If they're voted in twice, then they're out at the end of that. 2 terms, that's the Constitution. 8 years, no more. We're done with them. Get somebody else. So here's what happens in our country. Politicians come along every election year, and they make these great, you know, these great promises. They go out on tour. They go out on the, you know, on the circuit, and they make stops, and they go to states, and they make speeches, and they go to the debates, and they debate one another, and they promise the moon, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, when they get in office, what they eventually find out is that in America, it's very hard if everybody's doing their job and if I was writing this, I would underline it and I would put it in bold letters. If everybody else is doing their job, if the Congress is doing their job, if the House of Representatives, if the Supreme Court, if all the representatives are doing their job, it is very hard to do things, to make changes in America. And the reason it is very hard is because we have a Constitution, and the Constitution limits the power of the government. I'm trying to really emphasize this today. No matter who you are, no matter if you're right-wing, left-wing, Democrat, Republican, you ought to be very interested in what the Constitution says, because the Constitution protects us from times of bad leadership. And I've heard so many people, I mean, it's just hard to get on the bandwagon for anybody. I just, you know, Trump, Hillary, all the rest of them. It's hard to look at the future and say, you know, I think it's really bright, and no matter who we get, I think they're going to be a good person. That's not most people's attitude. Most people's attitude is it's do or die. We're either going to get this one or we're ruined. And level-headed people look at both of them and say, you know what, neither one of them are that great. Well, if we had a strong constitutional republic, we could ride out times of bad leadership, because the Constitution does not give the president power just to go in and do whatever they want to do. They are limited, and that's the beauty of it. It's designed to be that way. I heard Mr. Obama a while back, it's probably been a year or two ago, and he was talking about how hard it was to get anything done, and sometimes they'll talk about bypassing Congress. Well, if you bypass Congress on something, that makes you a criminal. Because there are certain ways that things ought to be done. It ought to be done according to the Constitution, and the president should not be allowed just to bypass Congress, just to bypass the Supreme Court and do what he wants to do. Those limitations are there for a reason. And it is hard to do things in America. There's a reason behind that. The Constitution limits the power of the government. Our founding fathers knew that the people, and that's how the Constitution starts, we the people of the United States of America, they knew that we the people must be protected by a strong Constitution. That is not a disrespect for leadership. It is jealousy for our freedoms, jealousy for our rights, jealousy for our American way of life. Thomas Jefferson said this, and this is a very famous quotation by him. He said, "Let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." And so what did Thomas Jefferson think about it? Let no more be said of confidence in man. You know, they had great confidence in George Washington. I'm talking about early on in our country. And they elected him as the first president of the United States, and they would have let George Washington become the king. And they just got out from under that. I mean, they loved him. You talk about presidential, it's been so long since we've had any of that in America. I can't even remember what it's called. But, you know, presidential confidence. Man, they had confidence in George Washington. But he wouldn't just serve right on and on and on. And he retired from public life. And he said, it's time for me to go home and to turn this over to somebody else. He would not become president for life. But they realized that if you put confidence in man, man will let you down. And so Thomas Jefferson said, bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. Now, there are many today that will come along and they'll say, the Constitution is out of date. The Constitution is no longer relevant in today's society. They will say, because of terrorism, we need to move on this, and we need to do this, and we need to change that. And our freedoms are always taken away, usually very slowly, but sometimes in under the guise of an emergency. You know, we got to do this right now. We've got to change this. And they'll say, the Constitution is out of date. It's too hard to get anything done. The president needs more power to do whatever it is. But when you hear somebody saying that the Constitution is out of date, what they are doing, they are either lying or they are just ignorant of the way that it's designed to work, or they're frustrated because they're trying to do something usually unconstitutional, and they're finding that it's very hard to get that thing done that they're trying to do. And here is why the Constitution will never, ever, ever be out of date. It's lasted us and served us well as a country well over 200 years. And with all of our problems and all of our difficulties that we have in our country, I would still rather live here than anywhere else in the world I can think of. Our Constitution has served us well. But here's why the Constitution of the United States will never, ever be out of date. It is because it deals with the one thing that never, ever changes, and it deals with human nature. Now, it deals with government, but what does it do to get to the government? It limits the power of the government, and it places the power in the hands of we, the people. And human nature is this. Human nature is always the desire for more power. You get somebody in and they're elected, and what do a lot of them do? They want to get elected again, and they want to get elected again, and they go back and they go back. I think the best thing, and I've said it over and over again, if we had term limits on our senators, on our representatives, on our governors, on our all of them, they don't need to stay too long, because that taste of power corrupts people sometimes, many times, and they want to stay right on and on and on. But the Constitution deals with one thing. It never will change, and what does not change is human nature. And our founders realized the truth of God's word, that man must be bound down by something. Thomas Jefferson said, bind him down with the chains of the Constitution. Here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches human nature is that it's not good, that it's not our nature to seek after righteousness, but none are good, no, not one. Power corrupts. You may have heard this before, an absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so we need to be careful of power. And you don't put too much power in anyone, even though you might have confidence in them. Here's what James Madison said about government. He said, it may be a reflection on human nature that such devices as constitutional chains should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. But lacking these, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. And so what is he saying there? Man must be controlled some way. All government is a testimony to the fact that man is sinful, because you must have government to restrain evil. And evil is present in the world today. Man has a sinful nature. He has a prideful nature. He has a self-seeking nature. I've just described the presidential candidates. Prideful, self-seeking, boastful. That nature must be restrained. If there is no restraint on that, you'll have a dictator. You'll have a tyrant as a leader. The danger in America today is that we are very weak as far as being a constitutional republic. And one of the things I'm doing in teaching, trying to get us to see the importance of civics, how our government works, that the Constitution is there to protect the people from the government going too far into our lives. So we ought to be interested in this, no matter which side of the political spectrum you may come from. If we're not careful, our Constitution will slip away and we will become a democracy. Well, I see our time is quickly come and gone today. We do want to say how much we appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. If you'll tune in next week at this time, same time, we'll meet you there. Have a good day, and God bless.